The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go! Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty, booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Axel looks like he's in a hotel room.
I am. I'm in the hotel room in New York.
Ah!
And so U.S. Open? U.S. Open? For being,
no, I was at the U.S. game. I was at the U.S. game. And we have sporting director meeting in Nashville starting this evening. So I connected the two things and I'm flying in a couple hours to Nashville.
See, I was going to ask you, it's an international break. Is this a time for you to forget about football and just, you know, golf or whatever you do? But no, it never stops right for a sporting director. This is actually a pretty busy week for you.
Yeah, you know what? It never stops. And I say only maybe between Christmas and New Year. But even then, some agents find you and want to recommend you to the next player. So that never stops. You have to find your pocket and... I'm doing this now more than 25 years, so I'm very good in finding my pockets where I can switch off and can spend some time with my family. But it's not the normal life, but therefore it's a very exciting life.
It must have been a big decision, Axel, when you made the move over to MLS from the Bundesliga and your experience there in Germany, vast experience. It must have been a big decision for you to make that move into a completely different set up with MLS, with all the different rules and things that go on with it, that is very different from European football in general, isn't it?
Yeah, somehow that also was attractive for me because I was doing this for a very long time already in Germany. And now going from Germany to another European country is mainly changing language and maybe a little bit the league, but not the setup. So it was probably the one thing that really attracted me. Honestly, I was actually speaking with the headhunter about the job in England when he asked me if he can also introduce me in this project. And so I joined it very curious. And when I made the third round and it was one of the final candidates, I actually said to my wife, so we now finally have to make a decision if we really want to do this. And so some of the best things just happened by chance. And this is one of that.
I know you're not huge on social media, Axel, but your Twitter bio says, look at life through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. Now, that is really apt this year in Vancouver for you. It's been some season from the potential of a club sale to signing Thomas Muller. It seems the windshield's pretty clear at the moment and the view's pretty great. How's this season evolved? Are you surprised by the way it's happened?
First of all, it's not over yet, so we still have the goal to play a better season than the year before, and you can measure that on different metrics. So one is actually also to go deeper into the playoffs, so we haven't done that yet. But obviously, yes, the season is one of the best in the history of the franchise so far. And yes, sometimes you as a leader have to say things because you actually believe that that might happen, but you are not sure that it really happens. So I really had to believe that we have everything together to play a better season and to stay away from all those dark clouds, the sale, and this will be a transition season and this will be not very good. And so I said it from the beginning because I knew what kind of a good group we had and that we kept all the pieces together, that we got new energy from a new coach. And so... yeah, sometimes as a leader, you're also lucky that some of the things you say a long time ago really happened then later. But I had definitely the belief in this group. And I think in my exit meetings with a lot of players, when I had the feeling our energy was a little bit lower at the end of last year, there was no doubt that the players had the belief that we had the quality and we had the right group together to play better. So, yeah, it was to get all the pieces together. And luckily with Jesper, we found the right coach for it.
So if you look back to when the season started, you would never have foreseen then that at some point this year you'd be signing a player of Thomas Muller's stature. Is that fair to say?
Ah, that's very fair to say. you know, that's I wouldn't have. Yeah, I wouldn't have believed it 4 weeks before it happened. Maybe not 2 weeks before it really happened. And we really, until the moment he really signed, we were all thinking, maybe tomorrow something better comes around the corner that he considers as something better, and it will not happen. So yes, this is the, that's maybe the one in a lifetime where all the pieces come together in a way that's not very often happening, that somebody is looking for a move outside of Europe, at the same time wants to have stability, wants also to live at a nice place, but is still super competitive, also wants to look for a team that is competing for titles. And then that, for our, in our case, obviously also the financial terms are not the decisive thing for him, because he could have made way more money somewhere else. So all those pieces coming together, and then you also have an opening, and you also need to have a DB spot open in the future, and you also need to have that flexibility on your roster, and you also need to have the position open on the pitch. So yeah, there are so many things that came together. I cannot even remember all of them, and this was the one in a lifetime constellation.
How did that come about in the conversation, Axel? Sorry, Amy, about, hey, you know, let's contact his representatives, you know, Mueller, and let's throw it against the wall and see whether he wants to come. How did that actually all pan out?
No, it was actually almost the opposite. So when another club in MLS was obviously not the landing point for him, and the league got aware about that, the league actually has reached out to a few clubs and said, are you interested, or would you consider to speak with Thomas Müller? And because I'm German, I was probably one of them. And that time I told the league, look, we don't have a DP spot open, and we have a turf pitch in our stadium. And they said, yeah, right, you're probably not the right landing spot. So then it moved away. So, and it was actually later that the agent who I know reached out to me and said, hey, can we just speak? And I understand that you're not in and you're not interested in signing Thomas, but I, from German to German, I would like to understand a little bit about some mechanisms in the league. And so my first sentence to him was, when we were on the Zoom call, was, never say again that I'm not interested in signing Thomas Müller. I only don't believe it's possible. And that was actually the opening. And then I tell you, 5 minutes later, I had a feeling, okay, the door is a little bit more open. But then for many weeks, I was never sure that he really will sign and that really will happen.
Is Thomas Müller, is he the epitome of an Axel Schuster type player? Like, you look at White, at Berhalter, at Blackman, guys that you've acquired who have become really important pieces for your squad. Like, obviously, Müller's a coup, right? He's like, obviously, German to German, you have that link despite the turf field, but you're able to get him. But it's the way that he integrates and has an impact instantly on your squad. But he's also the type of character first, and obviously the quality, but character first guy that you go out and you recruit, right?
Yeah, look, if you, I would say the thing that you mentioned about me at the beginning with the rear view mirror and front shield was one of the things that I also said in my very first press conference. And I said also that I'm not magic, and that we have to build things and we have to develop things. And part of the development is first to find a foundation and to also be very clear what you want to be. If you're not the biggest one, then you have to be very good in what you do, and you have to narrow it a little bit down. So even on the search of players. So for us, it was always important the whole way that we sign players who fit to our identity, and that I would say our other two DPs, Ryan Gold and Andres Kubas, are a very, very good example of that. Ryan Gold was called a working class DP last year when he was on his run to become the MVP. Andres Kubas is probably one of the hardest working number sixes, a player who really no one likes to play against, and they are the first ones out there to do the dirty work. So Thomas, in this regard, is also a perfect fit, because He has to put the team first, and he did that already in his first press conference with his first actions, even with a few little things that he even did before he arrived. So that's first, and he was always this guy, and then he is obviously a player that makes other players better, who doesn't shine on himself. Obviously, yes, he also does that, but whose first skill is to find the spaces, find spaces also for his teammates with that, and with his intelligence to lead a game, and also to help other players to find better positions on the pitch, to find help other players to get the right direction on the pitch. And he did that from the first second. So in combination, yes, he is the perfect player for us, because we have a group that I would say, has no big egos. And Thomas, although he's that big star, has not a big ego. And the only thing that he wants is that his team is successful. And for that, he has no problem to do what is needed to help his players to be better. And that in combination makes the team better.
Any other news that you want him to break on the dais, like you did with Tristan Blackman's inclusion in the U.S. men's national team roster? Are you going to send him out to do that as well?
You know, that's another part, and it's amazing for me to see how well that translates right away in interviews in English, because he was amazing and he was outstanding doing this in German, being also a little bit entertaining, because at the end also we're an entertaining business, and also to find the right balance on and off the pitch, being very, very competitive, no excuses on the pitch, being hungry and very, very, I would say also directional towards the goal, but at another time also having fun and being relaxed is also part of what you have to have in the locker room. You cannot always be focused. You cannot be 24 hours focused. You cannot be 6 hours before the game all the way focused. And so you have to find a balance, and Derry is also very, very good in that, and making a joke, or also, yeah, sometimes just get everyone back on ground and just thinking about what really matters in life. I think that was another quality that we knew. But long story short, we have signed him as a player first on the pitch, and that was very important for him. So all of these other things are just nice also to have on the side.
But he joins a really good team already, which really helps. He's not being brought to be the savior. I think often when you see these big names come aboard to be the savior, it's a lot of pressure. But you have a team that's already contending without Thomas Müller. I think Amy mentioned the Blackman, Berhalter, and White signings, all within a few weeks of each other, almost at the tipping point when the switch was hit for this team to become a really, really strong outfit. Vanni Sartini was the man. And he did a great job at Vancouver, but the time came when it's time for a change. What does Jesper bring, perhaps, that Vanny didn't?
Yeah, first, I want to say quickly one, two sentences to what you said. First up, yes, we have been an outstanding team. We have been the best team in MLS for the first half of the season already. But still, we lost the Champions League final, and we know how close we have been last year in a series of three against LAFC, and it was a game by inches, and we lost it. And what Thomas also brings us, and that's one thing we were looking for, is this experience, this leadership, also this being this person, this player on the pitch in these tight games where others can look up to in a difficult moment. So we hope that this helps us to go this inch further and win those games. What Jesper is doing differently, so first of all, he's different. That's helps him already, because when he was here for 3.5 years and it was a very, very good time, he helped the club along the way and has helped to develop this team. But 3.5 is in this business already very, very long, unfortunately. But that's also reality. If you look at the average times a coach is coaching, that's way less. So Jesper had the advantage to come in and being something fresh, something new, somebody who uses different words, maybe for the same things, and that looks then completely or sounds completely different, and you get more attraction from the players. He also, with coming in as a new manager, you also, I would say, shake things a little bit through. Everyone is, or no one can be sure that he has still the same status, that he will still play the same minutes. So you have to compete for that. So from the first moment in preseason, we had a lot of energy. And then, yes, of course, he's doing a few things different. And that doesn't mean that things before have not been right. But, you know, also this team got to the point where he said, look, we went so far, but something was missing. And so there was a big openness also to try something else out. What works very, very well from the first moment. And it works well even with some of our key players being out. So we have a very strong structure on that we can rely. And we are way more dominant this year. We are one of the teams with the highest possession in ball. And so it's also then at the end of the day, a little bit luck, because if you go back to the beginning of the season, we won also games, or we made it through a first round in the Champions League. That was very tight. We lost in Costa Rica the very first game. So for a long time, people said we haven't lost a game, but that wasn't actually true, because we were losing the first game in Costa Rica, but we made up in the second leg for it. So you also then have to be lucky that the results come your way in Portland, and with an amazing win in the first game of the season. And then things were taking off, and then the belief was growing. And now we have a team that believes in the system, but also believes in themselves and believes in the coach. And that's the best combination you can have.
Got to ask you. So you obviously spent many years at Mainz in Germany and working closely with Jürgen Klopp. There's a couple of Liverpool fans on this podcast, myself included. Was there ever a thought to give him a call last summer before you signed Jesper? Got to ask a question.
No. first of all, he was already doing his job in Leipzig at that time, or for the Red Bulls, not Leipzig. And second, he was very clear about that he doesn't want to go back to coaching. So no, that, not at all. And so I know what he's looking for, what he's doing right now. So I haven't even tried.
Well, he's doing, is it Trivago, right? Isn't he in the
he's doing commercials. Yeah.
He's everywhere right now. It's Jürgen Klopp. I wonder how many Canadians actually know who he is when those commercials pop up.
Yeah, a lot of Americans just refer to him as the guy with the teeth. So I'm sure many Canadians who aren't well-versed in football think the same thing.
We interviewed Jaden Nelson over the weekend, and I asked him, you know, what would Axel Schuster say about him? And they said, oh, we will ask Axel about you, so we must ask you. It's one of those transfers that kind of went under the radar a little bit when it happened. But within the first couple of weeks, we all saw the quality that Jaden has. How has he fit in Vancouver?
Yeah. We are used that our new signings sometimes are a little bit under the radar and people don't recognize them right away as a good transfer. So that's fine. We had a very high opinion about him. We actually went after him or already asked him half a year before. And so when that loan had not worked out and we came back, he was pretty excited because we were not just picking up on a situation that now recently happened. We actually thought about him already a long time before. And it was a surprise for me. And I think we all have to be a little bit careful, and I include myself, to judge too early about players. When we signed him, there were some comments out that his career is already over and he had already his best time, and the kid was only 21 at that time. So I think the best thing of it is that he went through this struggle, and that has helped him to mature more, and also to understand that even in soccer, it's not always going straight upwards, and you have to overcome such struggle, and you have to learn how to overcome those moments, and that has made him a more complete player, and that has made him more resilient. And then on top, his attributes of being so fast, being somebody who gets things to the end with goal contributions, and somebody who is a real competitor. And that's actually something I spoke with him a couple of months ago, that he has to find a better balance of using his emotions, because sometimes he was not using his emotions in the right way. So he got actually a suspension for that. And I think recently in the last couple of games, he's doing way better with it and use it in the right way to win the battles and then to try to calm down if it gets a little bit heated up. So he's still young and he has still a long career ahead of him. And we are very happy that he is with us and that we can help him maybe to grow and to develop to a better player now.
Plus, I just want to say, Axel, with that hairdo, he really should be on the pitch almost every beginning of every game. Just as like, hey, I'm going to be a center star out there. I mean, do you get a little jealous of that hairdo? I'm just wondering.
I do.
I know you do.
It looks good. Hey, Axel, away from the pitch here, regarding the pitch, though, what's the plan for the grass for the World Cup? When will that be going in exactly?
The grass is... We're still negotiating with the stadium, with the company. So it will be a couple of weeks. It's not a master science, honestly. I always try to remind people that at the last World Cup in the US, grass was put into the Silver Dome. Germany played in that stadium, so I remember that. So that's a couple of years ago. So that with the technique of today and the science of today, It's not too complicated, and it has been done before for games. So the only thing is that there are some FIFA regulations about when the grass has to be in and from what time on it cannot be touched. And we're working with FIFA and BC Plays around it. It will be a couple of weeks. It will mean that we have to play a couple of road games at that time before the World Cup starts. But also, that is business as usual for us, because last season, I think we played 7 games on the road in a row. So it's also not happening to us the first time. It's not happening because of a World Cup. So it is what it is. I'm also very good in accepting realities and not to try to spend too much energy into it, because it doesn't help you. And let's then spend the energy on how to deal with it.
Axel, I wanted to ask you about your feel and like your finger on the pulse of the soccer culture in Vancouver. We know the history that's there, but the pivot and the 180 from ownership looking to sell and now looking for a partner and potentially a new build, but then also the addition of the Vancouver Rise and obviously the CPL clubs that are in the area too. Like, just do you feel a shift that's tangible, that maybe you're going somewhere, you're growing, that those roots that are there is the foundation and then you're just adding to that now?
You know what? I'm not there that long, so I don't know too much about the past, or at least not from experience it myself. I obviously know some of the stories. And then we had the COVID right at the beginning. So for me, this is only starts sure. really after COVID. Since then, I feel the vibe, and I feel that there is a real soccer community and also a real big supportership group. And you see that if it really matters, they show up. And they show up for Rise games as well. So there's a general interest and understanding for the game. I also can feel it because so many people really recognize me in the city, so they obviously follow it somehow. But there's more we can do. And I think what I think we hopefully get from the World Cup is more options for kids to play the sport, maybe also more fully funded options, because that's where I'm coming from. Something that doesn't exist. So but the other way around, in where I'm coming from, the sport is for free for every kid. Mm-hmm. And so you get more kids into the sport, obviously. And that's something we try to work on also as an organization, with our Academy Center program. And then I think there will be anyway a boost coming from the World Cup. And if Canada is doing well, what I hope and what I believe in, then a lot of kids want to play mm-hmm. soccer and want to be like the stars. We're working on that. I think there's a great foundation. I think we have a real soccer market and a tradition there as well. Sometimes Yeah, it would be sometimes a little bit harder to activate everyone to get him out, because we compete. I always say we are not competing with the Kallax, or we're not competing with lions. We are competing with the wonderful landscape of British Columbia, the islands, and all the wonderful activities you can do. And I get it. So if there's a beautiful day and there's a family, you say let's go hiking, and then you're not making it back for the game. We have to find ways that the games are the most important thing for those people at the weekend, and then they go hiking at the other weekend. But it's always good to have some space to grow.
When do you think, as far as the World Cup goes, and is it going to be a seismic shift here in Canada? We saw it, I guess, in early 2000s with Korea and Japan, and what that meant having the World Cup. I'm sort of up in the air as far as the actual impact it'll have, whether it'll be big or whether it'll just be, a continuing on of baby steps that we've been doing for like the last 40 years. What's your opinion on that?
Okay, Korea, I was there, Korea and Japan, and we played Korea in the semifinals. I was at the game, and obviously that was a big piece to it, because Korea was so successful in the World Cup and made it to the semifinals. And so a whole nation became soccer fans. So we also need the Canadian team to do well, US team as well. I think what people will only really recognize when the games are coming, and we have seven in Vancouver, is how big each event is, how big this game is worldwide, how many people are coming, how many people are excited about this sport. And I hope that they pick up of this vibe, and it gets him a little bit more connected to the sport. I don't think that only because we have seven World Cup games, after that more people will buy tickets automatically. We need also to find a connection to our club and the connection to the sport in general, and not only to the event, right now there's also a possibility that a lot of people come to see the event, and a lot of people will also come from outside of the city or outside our country to support their home nations. So we still need to also be very good, and we are working on that, and we will have a lot of activations around the World Cup to build this bridge. And I say youth soccer and soccer legacy is an important one for me. And other than that, we have to continue to do a good job as a club itself. We are sold out for the last two games. We are sold out for the next game. And you see that the excitement is there, and keeping this excitement alive, and also to be meaningful in the market around this World Cup event is definitely helpful.
Axel, final question. We have to ask it. It does seem, given the recent comments from ownership and the fact that you're signing players like Thomas Muller, there's a definite commitment to keep Vancouver Whitecaps in Vancouver. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm not getting tired to say that on every single platform we're getting asked. And thank you for the question. We have never said something different. Because from the first moment I said that that our first plane A, B, C, D, all the way through to X and Y is to find a solution to keep the club in Vancouver. I understand that people in general always first think the bad things, and that this always, for whatever reason, we humans are like that. We always think the bad thing is more likely than the good thing. Mm-hmm. But it's also probably connected to what happened with the Grizzlies at some point.
Yeah.
But we are really focused and working on a solution in Vancouver. So when we had this news a few weeks ago, a lot of people said, "Oh, now you change the approach." No, this was one of the A to XY. So it was always there, and we are continuing to work on that. I also said our ownership group is not running away. Part of them live in Vancouver, and they are very committed to the city. And they only think about the right moment for a good transition to a next group. And I think this is a very good thing, because as long as you do it at the time where you have the time and where you have everything in your own hands, and you can make the right decision and can also wait for the right solution, there's a higher likelihood that you get to a good solution. So this is unchanged. The news about looking into a new stadium, the news about looking into different models, everything is aligned with our strategy. And I said, I think I said at the, also at the beginning that no one, and not saying that you were asking me, but that no one has to be nervous if there are no news after 6 months, because it might be a 2-year process. So, and then we are just only 25%, almost 30% now, maybe. So it's all on track, and we will continue to work. And what I also said, all of this should never impact our day-to-day business, because we want to keep the club in Vancouver. So we have to make sure that the club grows. And that was also something that I told Jesper and I told Thomas, when you come here, this will not impact your work at all. You will even not, you will not even notice it. And that's what I have to make sure. And then I can work in the background on supporting the ownership group on finding the right solution.
One quick one before you go. Sorry, Sharms. Axel, do you go on bike rides with Jesper and Thomas? And can
Are you
ask,
holding hands yeah, while and can you bike ride?
Bicycle built for three, maybe. And then can you tell Thomas to come on the podcast, please? Thank you.
Great. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'm more a runner and walker. So
okay.
I'm living in Olympic Village, and you can see me on the seawall and doing long walks there. All the way downtown Grand Stanley Park,
yeah,
and back. So Jesper is also probably too fast for me. So I know that our assistant coach sometimes tries to bike with him, and it's pretty challenging.
Okay.
So and I will speak with Thomas.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Not immediately, but maybe in a couple of weeks. Yes, we will.
That'd be great.
Sounds good.
Axel, thank you so much. And listen, congratulations on what's been a fantastic season so far. We're all rooting for you here for sure. Yeah. To win this whole thing. You're not back in action till the 13th. Philly is in town. We'll be watching that and looking forward to the next step for Thomas Müller as well as the Caps. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Axel.
Thank you.
It's Axel Schuster, sporting director of the Vancouver Whitecaps. And Dubs, I love your strategy there. Poor old Nathan, who runs media superbly, by the way, for the Whitecaps, is inundated, I'm sure, inundated with Müller requests. So let's go right to the sporting director.
Right, and put him on the spot.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. You know the best part about the interview? Right? It's obviously, you know, they're doing so well. It's a celebration of Vancouver. The way Axel was sitting with the window.
It looked like a party hat. I know. Yeah. I was going to say the same thing.
Because with the window, his little triangle in his head. It's like, hey, he's celebrating.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We'll
I was
do a
waiting
screen
to get that in the entire show, but I couldn't squeeze it in.
Mm-hmm.
Super interesting guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They're in very good shape there in Vancouver. And it seems like they're going to probably stay there, right? I think that's what he was saying, right? They're probably not going to move.
Yeah, that was heartening for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who would ever discuss the fact that they might move and leave Canada?
You know what the problem is it's the franchise system that we have here, that is, you know, in Europe they're not franchises, but here they are, and you can move them, and it has happened before. So of course we're going to think that that's a possibility.
Yeah,
I liked what he said, though. Like in life, there's a possibility for something negative to happen. You know, whether it's corporation, a business, or your own life, your thinking or more weight is given to the possibility of the negative thing happening. That's what's discussed overwhelmingly versus the positive thing that is maybe just as likely.
Yeah, like we have a meeting later today. And what's the point? Jesus. It's not going to go anywhere.
You're just a misanthrope. Right? Yes.
Okay, Wunga, I've never heard you be so quiet for so long.
Well, I you know what? He was mesmerizing. He was like an old professor. You know, you're sitting at a lecture going, I'm just sucking this stuff in. It's fantastic. But yes, we have lots dropping this week. So lots to promote. Stay, watch us on Twitter and on YouTube and download us. We're across the board. We're just doing more and more. And we appreciate all the support.
Mm-hmm. Wunga, Dubs, is there a broadcast this week?
There will be, but later on this week.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So yeah, check out our various channels on YouTube and on the various podcast platforms. Lots dropping, obviously Canada in action this past weekend. We'll get a lot into that. If not already, we're not sure when this one's dropping, so you may have heard all that recap from that match. I'll just stop. I'm confusing myself.
Stop quoting here again.
I know. I don't know when these
questions are
being dropped. And. Thanks, Axel. Didn't ask me about Appetite for Destruction.
Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
I hope all the people listening can really step in all of our footy droppings.
That's right. We hope to be the gum that you pick up in your walks throughout the streets, right? Stay on your shoe.
Or under the table.
That's right.
What the thing you're
on the subway.
With,
Under the seat.